The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is our monthly program in which we sit down at the table with one of our local bishops and discuss items of local and regional, national, and even worldwide importance to us and relevance to our lives. And once again, one of our favorite guests is back in the studio with us and has given all of us a big smile, His Excellency Bishop Roger Grease. Bishop Roger, welcome back to The Rock and to Table Talk.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be back again.
Yeah, it's good to have you here at the table. And, you know, we've had a lot of good discussions over the years. You've been a supporter of Catholic radio since the very beginning, and we really appreciate that. And here we are, like almost 9 years in now.
Bishop, yeah, and I was just here a couple of weeks ago for the spirit drive, you know, the fall spirit drive, and we did well, too.
Yep. Well, when they hear you on the air, I'm telling you, it's all hands on deck. Bishop Roger is here. Bishop Roger Grease is our guest. I'm Dick Russ. Our producer is Dan Dealey. And here on Table Talk, we have a lot of things to talk about. We'll do that over the course of the next hour. But before we begin, Bishop Roger Grease, if you would kindly begin with a short prayer for us.
Well, let us pray. Today is the feast of the dedication of the Lateran, John Lateran in Rome. And so today, with the prayers that we pray at that time and the things that we think about is that the Lateran is the chief church of our Catholic faith. You know, and it's one of those things that reminds us that we are the church now. Each one of us is one of the bricks, and one of the bricks that builds up the church of Christ that exists in the world today. It gives us an opportunity today as we talk about some of the facets of our faith today to remember that who we are. We are part of that church, and we are a very important part, because if one of us is missing, the church is not complete. We need to all be there to participate. So, Lord God, as we talk about your church today, and as we talk about the areas of our faith that we want to discuss today, we ask that let the Spirit be with us so that the Spirit can talk through us. We ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Bishop Roger Grease, our guest, interesting that you mentioned that we are living stones. And I'll never forget, years and years ago, the late Bishop Pilla gave a sermon on I forget, it was a great feast day. And it may have been the day when the priests on Holy Thursday, when the oil is blessed and all the priests are there at the cathedral downtown. And he talked so powerfully about all of us being living stones. I can remember being there and hearing this and just thinking, however he phrased it, it really resonated.
Yeah, it's all within us, too, you know, because we're all created in the image of God. Okay, that's our soul. That's the soul, which is the image of God, not our bodies. And so when we think about being stones, it's our souls that we have to work on. It's our souls that really come together as Catholics to build the foundation of that church. Jesus and the apostles are the foundation of the church, but we are the ones that have built the church from all these couple thousand years already.
Yeah, pictured in your mind that each one of us is, you know, building this edifice, this church, and we're part of that of those stones. It is a great image, and we're taping this, as Bishop Roger Grease said, on the feast of the dedication of the Lateran, the main church in Rome. I was reading before we went on about it was 1,700 years ago,
right,
Bishop Roger?
325 or something like that.
Yeah,
that it was finally, and it's been built many times because it's been destroyed in a number of the wars and the times that Rome has been taken over. But it's been rebuilt. But that is the Catholic Church for the universe, because that's the Pope's church.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks St. Peter's is the Pope's church.
Yeah, everybody thinks that.
Yeah, but he's the Bishop of Rome, and the John Lateran is his church in the Diocese of Rome.
It's quite an edifice. I'm not sure how far back the current one. I mean, obviously hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe more. Anybody that goes to Rome, whether you're on a pilgrimage or just, you know, visiting somebody or taking a vacation, the four major basilicas, St. Peter's and the Lateran, Paul outside the walls, and St. Mary Major.
St. Mary Major.
What an incredible way to spend a week, at least, the riches of the church of— And you talked about us being living stones. You go there and you say, and you look at the relics and the artwork and the relics of the martyrs and other things of antiquity. You come out with the feeling, Bishop, that you're like renewed. I'm part of something that is old, that is so true. So many more were before me and maintained it and grew. It's hard to describe.
How many people had their faith strengthened by visiting those churches?
Yeah.
I know when I was, every 4 years, we had a big two-week meeting of the abbots from around the world. And every afternoon, we had some time, some free time. And every afternoon, I would visit one of those churches. There was walking distance from from San Anselmo, where we stayed. And we had a wonderful time. I had a wonderful time and a great experience and spiritual renewal.
It is absolutely true. Bishop Roger Grease is our guest here on Table Talk, and it's been a while since you've been on, and a couple of things have happened. We want to congratulate you on the 60th anniversary of your ordination.
Well, thank you.
That was on the 16th of May of this year.
17th.
17th?
No, 18th of May.
18th of May.
Yeah, right.
And so we're, about 6 months after that now, but our congratulations, our thanks. And I wonder, as you look back on those 60 years, my goodness, you hate to say it like this, but you're an institution here in Cleveland, and you really are in so many ways. And I guess, a lot of folks have been around a while, but there are few who are around a long time and make the impact that you have. So we wanted to mention that and just ask you, as you think back, my gosh.
I was ordained a couple of years before the ending of Vatican II.
Wow!
And so when I was ordained, it was the Latin Rite, And
in 63.
Yeah. 65.
Well, Kennedy was still the
65. I was just ordained before he was assassinated.
Wow!
But he was assassinated in November. And I was in May.
Yeah, actually, we're coming up on the 60th anniversary of that as well.
Right.
That's right.
But it's one of those things where I offered the Mass in the Latin Rite for 3 or 4 years before it started transitioning to the English, mm-hmm. And to the various languages. And so it was quite an experience going through that, instead of, saying the body of Christ when you're giving communion,
yes.
And instead of the long thing we used to have to say beforehand and having some of the prayers that, we could understand anybody who had no idea what this Latin was all about, at least could understand the prayers, with the prayers of the Mass. And one of the things that Vatican II brought out was that the greater participation in the church that they wanted is not the fact that we could respond to everything. It is the fact that we had to recognize that through our baptism, we all share in the priesthood of Christ. And so the Mass is something we all offer. We all offer that up to God. It's just that the priest is up there saying the prayers on our behalf. He's up there praying our prayers for us, that we join with him in saying those prayers because we're all offering Christ up to the Father.
Yeah, sometimes that's overlooked, that the Mass is you're offering the sacrifice. We used to say the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Right.
And you are the priest at the altar, exactly as you said, on our behalf, offering this sacrifice.
And that sacrifice of the Mass, and so many things in the Catholic faith are mysteries. And what's a mystery? A mystery is something you can't see, but you still believe. Okay, you can't see, but still believe. Just like in the Eucharist, mm-hmm. You can't see Christ, but you believe that Christ is there. It's not the bread that you see; it's Jesus Christ that is present. And it's not the wine that you taste; it's the precious blood that you're drinking. It's one of those things that's a faith. And St. Thomas Aquinas, when he was translating this from the Greek, some of the Greek mysterion, he translated it as sacramentum, a sacrament.
Into the Latin.
And that's what a sacrament is, because all our sacraments are mysteries. We don't see Jesus baptizing, but he's baptizing. The priest is just there in his place, sharing his priesthood. It's Jesus that's confirming. It's Jesus that's witnessing marriages. It's Jesus that's saying the words over the bread and wine that transforms them into his body and blood. It's Jesus that does all those things. That's where the mystery is. And so the mystery also has to do with our life. Because, we look at our bodies and we say, well, this is who I am. This is who you are. This is I am. This is who he is. But no. Our bodies just represent what is inside of us. Because we're all made in the image of God. And our body is not part of that image of God. It's our soul. Mm-hmm. It's our soul, which was given to us the moment we're conceived. God breathes life into us, and that life we call the soul. And that soul is what is the first one, and the most prominent one, is at the Annunciation when Mary was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was alive in her womb as God in her womb. He didn't receive a body until he was born. It was all being formed in those 9 months in the womb. And when he was born, he was Jesus. It wasn't that he just became Jesus when he was born, but he's been Jesus for 9 months before he was born. Yeah. The same thing with all of us. But when we're born, you know, how many times when you see a baby, you say, boy, that looks just like your dad. Or she looks just like her mom. You know, yeah. It's one of those things. Well, that's because through the cooperation and the creative power of God, you know, we're all given a body. We're all given a body to use and to share, to be really to be a temple to that soul that we have. That is what we come out of the womb. The first thing we do, the first thing we should do is be baptized, because then we also become part of God's family as well. Yeah. Become part of God's family as well.
Yeah. Interesting. So, I just heard something, and it might have been on Catholic Answers, that did Jesus look a little bit like Mary? Because she was his physical mother.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, probably. So, you said, hey, that baby kind of looks like his mom, you know?
Yeah. But anyways, we go through life too. It was interesting. I had Mass on All Saints Day at the St. Francis Church here in France, down below. And most of the youngsters are African Americans, you know, they're not Catholic.
That's my old parish. That's where I grew up there a long time ago.
They're not Catholic. And so I said, did any of you have anybody that you know, a parent, a grandparent that was born? Of course, their hands all went up, you know. So I pointed to one and said, who do you remember? I said, my grandma. Your grandma. Were you at the funeral? Yeah. What? They bury her? They put her in the ground? They said, yeah. I thought she was supposed to go to heaven. How could she go to heaven if she's buried in the ground? And I said, how does she get to heaven? He raises his hand. I said, what? He says, that's her soul that goes to heaven.
There you go.
I said, see, that's what goes to heaven, because that is made in the soul is the image of God. That's why we can see God face to face when we get to heaven, because it's our soul, which is spirit.
Yeah.
It's our spirit, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, we're all sacraments. You know, we're all sacraments, because nobody sees who we really are. They see the image of ourselves that our parents gave us, but they don't see who we really are. And the same thing with God. God knows who we really are, and he sees who we really are. That's why he gives us this time in this world to develop a relationship with him, with God in heaven, so that we have that relationship. So on the day when we pass from this life and our body is buried and our soul goes to heaven, you know, it's an opportunity to see that we meet somebody that we've known all our life on here on earth. And of course, we shouldn't forget that if we don't have a real good relationship with God now, God provides us a time called purgatory. And it's during that time that we develop that relationship with God that we need before we see him face to face.
It's like on earth here, you can't waste a day, Bishop Roger. You know, the way you put it, it's like, you've got to be aware of this every single day, because somebody said, you know, today I'm the oldest that I've ever been.
Your
body is, yeah. And so,
I'm never going to die. My body is.
Yeah, right.
That's
a
great thing. You know, as I'm getting older too, you know, it's one of those things, with, you know, in my prayer life, you know, my private prayer. I have two special ones, you know. I pray with the monks, you know, throughout the day. But, you know, it's the one where I go to bed at night. I lay down in bed. I put on my BiPAP machine, you know, I lay down, put my head down the back, and I go, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, if tonight's the night you're going to take me home, you know, please come and grab me by the hand, you know, Mary, and let my guardian angel take my other hand and lead me to Jesus. Lead me to Jesus, if tonight's the night, because I'm ready to go. I've lived my day today in your presence, and I'm ready to meet you if tonight's the night. Then the next morning when I get up and the first things I do is offer Mass, I consecrate the host. This is my body, which is given up for you. And I'm holding the host in my hand. I go, well, Jesus, you give me another day. Huh?
Thank you.
let me use it. Let the Spirit work through me to touch other people and help me to grow closer to you this day.
Yeah. Well, you've touched so many people, Bishop. And you mentioned you offered that Mass on All Saints Day or All Souls Day. That was right around, again, talking about anniversaries. 10 years since you, quote, officially your official retirement was accepted. Obviously, everybody knows you come back and well, various roles. And I think less than a year ago, I was at your official retirement.
Well, Bishop Lennon and Bishop Thomas and Bishop Perez and Bishop Malesic needed me until we got Bishop Woost, until we had somebody new. And so I was ready to retire even before we even knew Woost was coming, that Woost was being appointed. But it was time for me to... because I've been slowing down.
Yeah, well, as I told Bishop Woost when he was ordained a bishop and then came on our program a few times, I said, oh, my goodness, I said, I remember you when you were just a seminarian hanging around at the chancery there. So, oh, boy. Yeah,
things change.
Time marches on, doesn't it? We're having a great conversation here with Bishop Roger Grease, former auxiliary bishop of the Diocese of Cleveland for quite a long time, and now Bishop Emeritus, retired. I'm not quite sure how the title goes now.
Oh, Emeritus just means everybody thinks you're retired.
Oh, okay. and we'll continue our discussion with Bishop Roger after we take our first break here on Table Talk. Back here on Table Talk on the Rock with Bishop Roger Grease, talking about his 60 years in the Holy Priesthood, the anniversary of his retirement. And I don't know how you engineered this, Bishop Roger, but it was the 175th anniversary of the diocese as well. So you do a little quick math and you say, Bishop Roger's been here for more than one-third of the entire time the diocese has been here. Tip of the hat to you. So you've seen a lot of things. The diocese grow and then... there are fewer people now than there were at the big peak, when everything was really rolling. You look back at that, what do you remember as some of the more significant changes, developments, and so on, both in the church and the community?
Well, I think the biggest significant, happened with the pandemic. Uh-huh. Because when, many people, stayed home because of the virus, the COVID virus, and they stayed home and were getting used to watching the Mass being videotaped, and being videoed to them, and they're sitting in their lazy boy with their feet up, and relaxing with maybe a cup of coffee in their hand, watching them. And when it time to come back to church, they weren't ready to give up that leisurely viewing of the Mass because they didn't realize that they really weren't participating. Because to participate in the Mass, you have to complete the sacrifice. And the sacrifice is always eating the victim. That's Holy Communion, okay? Because even from the old Jewish tradition, even the Passover, they all ate the lamb after it was sacrificed, after it gave up its life. And that's what we do in the Mass, too, the Mass. I like to look at it in a way that I remember one time I was up in Bad Axe, Michigan, and they had a big slaughterhouse up there. That's where they'd slaughtered a lot of cattle, and they also slaughtered the deer when during the fall season. But they invited me over to watch a slaughter one time, and they had this deer. They knocked the deer out. They brought him in. They hung him by one of his back legs, and then they cut his throat, and drained all the blood out. And once all the blood was drained out, he was dead. Yeah. And I said, wait a second. Maybe I think that's why in the Jewish religion they don't eat meat that has blood in it because they feel that's the life of the animal is in the blood, and life of the animal is in the blood. Mm-hmm. And then we think I love it when I go to Mass. When I go to Mass, I keep thinking about this too. And as I consecrate the bread and the wine, I consecrate the bread and then I consecrate the wine. They're separated now. He's dead. He really died. Theologically, I don't think that has that meaning at that time, but he did die. And I said, this is symbolic. The blood has been separated from the body. And then before we receive communion, I take a little piece of that precious body and put it into the chalice of the wine to bring them back together again to his resurrected body. His resurrected body is what we receive. Yeah. I think the people just have lost touch over the years. That was one of the things that we lost touch of. We lost touch of so much of the symbolism in the church, the holy water. And a lot of people coming to Mass don't even know what the holy water is. They don't know why it's there. And it's there to remind us. And we take some of that water, make the sign of the cross. We say to ourselves, this is the water that I was baptized with. This is when I began my life with God. It became part of God's family, okay? Then we go on to the church and we go in there and we genuflect, Some people just curtsy, but, some people genuflect and some people don't because they can't, like I can't because of my artificial knee, So it's one of those things where just to respect the presence of God. Driving by a church, tip our hat, mm-hmm. or say a little prayer, say a little prayer. It's one of those things, the little things that we take for granted or we see other people do and we wonder, why are they doing that. But just part of the participation in the Mass, you know, singing and, you know, being part of the community. Because as we mentioned before, you know, we're the church. We're the body of Christ. We're the presence of Christ in our church. We're the presence of Christ in our neighborhood. We're the presence of Christ in our world. And I just wonder sometimes in our society today, where are the Catholics sticking together to promote the presence of Jesus in our world, in our world or in our country?
Yeah. One of the good things that has developed in the last year or two is a very deliberate effort on the part of the institutional church, the bishops leading the way, to bring us back to the Eucharist and to all those things, Bishop Roger, that you have described, the awe, the mystery of Christ's body and blood. I wish people could see as we're sitting here, as your hands were almost going through the motions of holding the precious body of Christ, that this Eucharistic revival movement, you know, it has some traction, and with enough emphasis, Bishop, maybe we can get some people back to these things you've just been describing to us.
Just the presence of God, you know. One of the things with some of these elementary schools that I go to where the majority of the students are not Catholic, you know, the teachers are trying to tell them, we're going to go celebrate the Mass, the Catholic Mass, he says. But remember, we're going there, and that's God's house. God's presence is in there. God lives there, you know. So, you know, we have to remember that when we go in there to respect the presence of God. One time I was all vested, and I came out for Mass, I heard a kindergarten, "Hey, is that God?" It's one of those things. No, see, that's why so many times you go into church, you know, and people are talking and laughing, and there's no respect.
That bugs a lot of people.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You know, one of the things I always enjoyed, you know, was the 10 years that I had as abbot when I was by ritual and I was offering the liturgy in the Ruthenian Byzantine Rite. I love that, Mass, because they offer that liturgy, and that liturgy is more of a meditation than our Catholic liturgy.
Yes.
Our Catholic liturgy are prayers to God the Father, okay? They're all prayers, right? Related to God the Father. But the Byzantine liturgy is like a meditation, you know, continual meditation of what we're doing and why we're there and who we are and all that as we go through the liturgy.
And very Trinitarian.
Very Trinitarian, absolutely. I never crossed myself so many times as during that liturgy. You know?
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. And the rites are a little bit different,
yes.
You know, like their baptism, confirmation, and first Eucharist all come at the same time,
yes.
as a youth, you know, to come at the same time. And I got hit with that one time. I was substituting for somebody, and I was having the liturgy, and it was time for communion, and this lady was carrying a baby, and she came up for communion, and I go to offer her communion. She says, "Oh, the baby first." I forgot the baby had received his first communion.
Yeah, a few little details there. And in the East, the sacraments are indeed called mysteries.
Yes.
They're mysteries.
Right.
Mysterion.
Mysterion, yeah. Sacraments, but they're mysteries, you know,
very,
for the same reason.
Yeah. Very, very contemplative, very sensory,
yeah.
Also, you would say, incense and bells and movements and so on, very deliberate things.
And so many of those things have been adapted because of, customs of the time.
Yeah.
You know, even in the Catholic Mass. In the Catholic Mass, we use incense, you know.
Yeah.
Incense, you know, it was not incense, you know. And why do we use that incense? Well, in the early days of the church, nobody had the sanitation that we have today. And the offertory gifts were usually live animals, you know. So they used the incense to just clear up the air. You know?
Enough said about that, huh?
But then Scripture says that, you know, incense like goes like prayers up to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, so the incense became a symbol of our prayers going up to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I liked about the Byzantine liturgy, too, is that during the Our Father, the priest is holding the veil over the chalice,
yes.
You know, swinging it back and forth, you know, and the representation in the liturgy is that the action of the Holy Spirit coming down upon the bread and the wine, okay? But in the early days, the real use of that was just to keep the flies off.
That's exactly right, yes.
But it's been spiritualized.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Spiritualized. And that same thing with water, you know, water was cleansing,
mm-hmm.
Okay? But now it becomes baptismal water. It's transforming, besides cleansing, transforming.
Interesting point about when you enter a church and bless yourself, cross yourself with the holy water, and I'm thinking that most of the churches have the holy water back again.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes they're in this like little individual dispenser thing, but anyway, to think back, hearken back, that I was baptized with this water, this same kind of holy, blessed water. And then enter the church with that thought in mind.
The thought in mind that is the water that may be part of God's family.
Yeah.
and part of this church. I'm one of those bricks.
So going back to that, we began that discussion with living stones and every single one, and you very correctly mentioned that God's presence is within us from the moment of our conception, just as Jesus Christ was God and man from the moment of his conception. So here in Ohio, and at the time of this taping, it's only a couple of days ago, Ohioans made what should be considered a grave, grave mistake and enshrined this so-called abortion right into the state constitution. I hear that we haven't heard the last of this, and that's good, and pro-life people will continue the efforts. But Bishop, you have been at the forefront of the pro-life movement since, honestly, before it was called pro-life movement. This has wounded many people very deeply. And to begin the discussion about that, realizing that what we're talking about is killing a person who has a life, a beating heart, a soul. Like many people, I was at a loss for words.
On the cemetery day at last Sunday at the cemeteries around the diocese, we had Mass. And I had Mass at Calvary, and I told the people at the Sunday paper, it was Sunday morning paper, had the big thing on the front page about for abortion, vote yes, and against abortion, vote no. I said, no. I wish they'd have put down the truth of the bed. If you're for life, vote no, and if you're for death, vote yes.
Exactly right, yes.
Because to have a successful abortion, one heart has to stop beating. One heart has to die, you know, and we don't realize that, you know, one of the beauties, though, of our faith, if you really have faith, is that even after an abortion or after a stillbirth, you know, after a bad, you know, stillbirth, one of the births that the baby doesn't make it, you
a
know.
Miscarriage,
yeah. A friend of mine had a miscarriage, you know, and I says, oh, wonderful. I says, I'll have mass for the baby tomorrow. She says, you can do that? I said, well, sure. I says, he was alive, and he was made in the image of God. He's alive. He's going to God. You know, he's gotten, someday you're going to see him again, or her, whatever it was. You know, because that is life in there. That's real life.
But it's hard for us to process this, Bishop. It really is, and we know that. I know many of the people listening are absolutely anguished. The fact that yes, it's wonderful that the souls go to heaven. But couldn't they go to heaven after they were 60 or 70 or 90 years old? You know,
absolutely. I'm not saying
I know, but how do we think about this? This is horrible.
What I'm saying that we understand that a lot of people are making choices because they feel that they have no other choice.
Yeah.
They have no other choice. Either they can't afford it, or they can't, can't appreciate the fact that this baby is born into a world like it is now. And you know, some of the reasons that they have, you know, are really strong in their hearts, and they go through that process of having an abortion, you know, not realizing the effect it's going to have on them later on. They're never going to forget the day. And continue wondering what that baby would have been like, and what difference he would have made in my life, and what difference he would have made in this world. But, you know, I chose to let him die. Not only let him die, but make him die. It must be hard to live with something like that. And I think that's why there are many women suffering. And I know that some of these places, that, you know, like the Seeley Home and some place, they're there to help the women through their pregnancy. But there's other places, too, where they have an opportunity to go to make a retreat and just try to understand that God still loves them, you know, that God still loves them, that God always gives us another chance. God's always there to forgive and merciful.
An ocean of mercy.
Just like little Teresa, the flower. She had a wonderful little way to get to heaven. Three simple steps. Step one, recognize that you're a sinner. Recognize that you have faults. Recognize that you have sins, okay? Second step, continue to work to try to overcome those sins, overcome those faults. That's the second step. And the third step is rely on God's mercy. Rely on God's mercy, the merciful God. So when people go to confession, they say, Father, you know, how can I keep coming? I keep giving the same sins week after week or month after month. I said, well, don't worry. I said, because God never gets tired of forgiving you. Yeah. God never gets tired because he's an all-merciful God. You know, he's a merciful God. You know, what is mercy? Mercy is getting something you don't deserve, you know, that you've never earned, you know. So
we're with Bishop Roger Grease here on Table Talk. So in light of the passage of this state amendment, how do we as a pro-life people who value every life, how do we go forward in near term, long term? I'm not asking for super details, but just to kind of reconcile our minds that it's not over, but in the face of stuff that happens like this. My goodness, how do we comport ourselves and keep doing what we're doing?
Bishop? I think another thing is just like we're doing today, to try to help people understand what is happening in a conception and what is happening in the womb. It's the womb is a two-part. It's a part of humans working with God. First of all, the conception takes place because two human beings came together and they conceived a new life. And God is there to breathe new life into that conception, that new life we call the soul. That means that from now on, throughout those 9 months, that life within you is a person. There's only one like that that ever existed and ever will exist in the world, you know, one like that. You know, what can it be, you know, when the birth takes place? All the work that the mother and father have done in the conception, and all the work that the mother have done in sharing her food and sharing her blood with that infant, will be produced in the image of a new baby, in the image of their father and mother. But the image of God is still there within the baby in the soul. You take the baby to be baptized and say, now we're ready. Now we're one with God.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's something we need to keep preaching, something we need to keep educating, something you have to keep talking and say that we believe. You know, we've got to strongly believe that ourselves. It's like in the Eucharist, we need to really believe that Jesus is present, because that's what faith is. You know, that's what a sacrament is, a mystery is that we don't see it, but we believe it. Do we believe there's a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's hard to explain, isn't it? It's hard to understand,
yeah.
But we believe it. We believe it because we make it the sign of the cross. And why do we make the sign of the cross? Because Jesus made a covenant with us. He made the covenant with Noah with the rainbow. He made the covenant with Moses with the circumcision. And he made a covenant with us by hanging on the cross with his arms outstretched. That cross is a symbol of the covenant he made with us, that he will always be our God and we will always be his people.
Sometimes it's hard, Bishop, for those of us who are just walking around here on the earth to, in the light of things that go on locally and around the world and currently and in recent history, to keep our minds on that, because there is, you know, so much bad. Do you think we're making progress as Catholics, Christians, moving forward in the right direction? You
know? Well, I truly believe that the vote on the 7th of November, the results of that vote tell us that we are experiencing what those early Christians believed. The early Christians experienced, you know, they're living in a society that doesn't believe what they believe, mm-hmm. that doesn't honor what they believe. And in a way, the bad words that people say about us, you know, it's the same thing. Because Jesus said that even in the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are you who persecute because of things that are said about you, you know.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. That stuff didn't end in the first or second, third century. And we're back to it again.
Still not ending, no.
Yeah. Our human nature, that's what it is?
That's what the human nature. Well, remember Paul, how many times did Paul say, you know, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak?
Yeah.
That's the whole story about our bodies. Our bodies want to do things in this world. They want to do things that they want to do, not recognizing the fact that the spirit within them is saying, no, don't do that. That's not the way God wants
it. St. Paul says, right? I keep doing what I don't want to do.
Right.
Well, Bishop, we're going to soldier on and... You know, like we said at the outset, you've seen a lot of things come and go. We know that Christ wins in the end.
And he told us that.
Yeah, but man, sometimes it's hard along the way, isn't it?
But it's another one. You've got to believe. When you look at things the way they are now, did Jesus really say, I'll be with you till the end of time?
You're listening to Table Talk. We're here on The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Glad you're with us. AM 1260. I'm Dick Russ with Bishop Roger Grease, and Dan Dealey's our producer of the program. We've got a bit more to go, and we're going to take another quick time out here, and then I'll be back to talk about some other issues that are on everyone's minds. Stay with us. Welcome back, everyone, to Table Talk here on The Rock, AM 1260. It's Cleveland Catholic Radio. Bishop Roger Grease is in the studio with us today at the table. Bishop, you have long been involved in interfaith relations here in the Northeast Ohio area with many different religions, faiths, traditions, and so on. And you've been very close with the Jewish people here in Cleveland. So now as we tape this, I think the date is pretty close to almost exactly a little more than a month after the horrendous attack on Israel by the terrorists who killed so many people. It's like inconceivable now as what's coming out, what they did. you've been in touch, obviously, with the Jewish community here about these atrocities, and not only this time, but you know, when the synagogue was bombed in Pittsburgh, and all the other things that have happened over the years. And so, tell us about that relationship, and how we, as listeners to this program, can think about things in a rational way.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I'm close to the Jewish community is because my boss Jesus was a Jew. he was Jewish, you know, and so much of our faith comes from the Jewish tradition. You know, I mean, we still have the Jewish scriptures. We call it the Old Testament, but it's the Jewish scriptures, and it's still part of my daily prayer as a priest. You know, I was reading from the Book of Maccabees this morning. You know, this week we're reading the story of the Book of Maccabees. You know, how they were fighting to save their religion because the Egyptians and the Persians were trying to take it away from them. That was the whole story of their life. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, they had been persecuted forever and ever, and it hasn't ended, you know. During the Second World War, they were persecuted by the Nazis, okay, and now they're being they were being persecuted again with Hamas and Hezbollah and from the north, you know, and Iran just wants to wipe them off the face of the earth. You know, it's one of those things that they continue to suffer. And I think even here in the United States, you know, with some of the universities in the East and some of the universities. I just heard one from Iowa too. They have these big protests, you know, in favor of the Palestinians, you know, and they want to get they hate the Jews
and chanting death to the Jews. I mean, in the year 2023,
I know they're still doing it. Yeah. You know, as we talked in that whole first section we had here, you know, the Jewish people also have souls. You know, they're still human beings made in the image of God. You know, it's faith in God. It's been faith for centuries. You know, it's been one God. And God always said, you know, I am your God and you are my people, right. You know. And so they continue to have faith. They continue to strive for these things. Now, at least now they're fighting back a little bit. Yeah. You know, they're fighting back because when you have so many people killed and slaughtered and burnt to death, you know, and that terrible October 7th, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, to see that they're coming back. And so the Palestinians, they're hoping to get the Palestinians to move out of the way so they can get to Hamas, because Hamas has done nothing for the Palestinians in Gaza. Life has been hell for them in Gaza, you know, and the Palestinians now are just showing what kind of people they really are, the Hamas. And so, you know, they're working right their way in now to try to eliminate them. So, but at the same time, they got 240 hostages or people that they took as hostages, you know, mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a wonder of trying to get them out at the same time that they're doing this. So. Well, it's a terrible thing, and it's a terrible time that we have to experience that too. You know, here even in the United States.
Yeah, and here with such a huge Jewish community in Northeast Ohio.
Oh, yes,
I mean, very, very active and very prominent in religious and civic affairs. And I know that, like I said, you're very close to that, and they need to know that Catholics understand and cannot condone any of the things that happen to them.
Right,
like that.
We experience the same thing ourselves these days, too, with some of the restrictions that we have in our lives.
It just seems that, you know, good people are under attack for, like, no reason or any reason anymore. I mean, you have abortion, war, terrorist attacks, all this kind of stuff.
And I know.
Ukraine. I mean, how many tens of thousands of Ukrainians live here? We've talked about this with Bishop Danilo, who's come on, because he's gone back and forth, you know,
right,
a number of times, and brings us firsthand accounts to that. And I know you know.
He's good friends of mine. You know, I was at his ordination. And
yeah, you're very close to these. Yeah. And in fact, he just celebrated 9 years as a bishop this week. And you're close to them as well. And so here's another atrocity going on. It's tough to process, Bishop Roger, and we look at these things and people, even people of some faith, will go, where is God in this? And I guess, not going to put you on the spot, but how, when we say that, my gosh, where is God in this? What do you say to folks?
Same question was in 9/11.
Yeah.
Same question, where is God in all this?
Yeah.
God was crying, and he was carrying the people back that had died in that tragedy, the time when the buildings came down. He was there with the people that had died, carrying them back and crying, because what happened to people?
Yeah, it's a tough thing to understand why in God's permissive will. You know, everybody, it always comes back to this. Why? Why do kids get sick? Why does war happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, and it's the existential question that so many people in times of, whether it's issue one or the war in Israel and or Ukraine, you know?
And the truth is simply, God gave us all free will to choose him or to choose the world. A lot of people just aren't choosing God at this time. You know, that's where the evil comes in. That's where bad things happen. You know, sickness comes because, you know, the way that we handle things in this world, you know, and the way diseases pass on from one person to another and all those things. It comes through nature, not through God's will. Yeah. You know, God doesn't will all these things, but he's there to help people get through these things. You know, that's the thing if we turn to God.
As a priest of 60 years, Bishop Roger Grease, and someone who's been deeply involved in the spiritual lives of countless people here in Northeast Ohio. We've had the privilege here at The Rock to have on the radio from time to time all of the young priests, guys that were ordained this year, last year, and they're young and they're eager and everybody grows up in a different time and they are coming of age as priests and thrust into this kind of a world of it's happened before, obviously, but what would you tell to the young priests and those contemplating religious life? What do you say to the people in your care at your parish if you're a young pastor or a young assistant and they say, Father, just much like we're doing.
Yeah.
My goodness, what can you tell me about all this stuff happening around in our lives?
Well, I would try to tell them that, first of all, that God is good all the time. And God is always there with us. All the time, God is good. We forget that sometimes when we see what's happening in our world, what's happening in our neighborhoods, what's happening, you know, in the Ukraine, what's happening in Gaza right now and in Israel. God doesn't plan all these things. He doesn't make these things happen. It's because of our human nature, the human nature and the weakness of our human nature that we have envy and hatred and all those things that we have within our hearts. But God didn't create us that way. He gave us a soul to be in union with him. It's a weakness of our flesh that causes us to go this way. And so I think as a priest, you know, for all these years, you know, I've been there to try to help people understand that God is with them. I just had a call this morning from a fellow I knew. I met him when my mother was with the Little Sisters of the Poor, you know, many years ago. And I had a wedding for his daughter 25 years ago. And he told me that she's got some brain cancer or some bleeding on the brain or something. And she's going to have surgery tomorrow, you know. And so I called her up. You know, I called her up to pray with her, you know, and to pray with her. And I just tell her that I'll remember in my masses over the weekend, you know, the coming up in the masses. And I says, but just remember, just, you know, I said, one of my prayers is that the divine physician will control the hands of the physician as he performs the surgery, and that God will be with you throughout that surgery. So, you know, just keep praying yourself that God's will be done. Then I had another one whose sister had been sick for years. She'd been sick for years, and she died early this morning as well. I got a message on my phone just as I finished Mass this morning that her sister died this morning, and so I called up her husband just to tell him, you know, to talk again, to speak about God's love and the fact that now, you know, her suffering's over and now she can be with God.
And even lay people, I guess, Bishop Roger, that, you know, if it's not the priest, we can.
Sure.
Tell people and remind them and pray with them and for them and all these things you mentioned.
The spiritual works of mercy. You know, the spiritual works of mercy is to be there for others. You know, help someone you see. Open a door for somebody or help somebody carry their bags in or something. Or if somebody needs to go shopping, go, you know, an elderly person, take them shopping, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even offer to take them to Mass. You know, be there for others. You know?
Yeah, as life goes on, I used to do, and even now somebody will call or remember and they'll go, do you know, 40 years ago, you did this or that, and I just wanted to say that it meant something to me, and thank you. Do you remember it? I might say, I don't remember, but if you say thank you, I appreciate that you remembered. Even small things, Bishop. You
know? I know. I get that often for my 60 years as a priest. So, yeah. Father, remember what you told me in confession 40 years ago? No, we try to forget confessions as we leave the confessional.
Yeah. It's like some kind of a, I don't know if it was a joke or what, but, you know, somebody goes up to heaven and said something at the pearly gates to God about the sins that they committed or whatever, and he goes, that they confessed. And he goes,
What sins? What sins? I don't remember any sins.
You know? Yeah. That was another story about somebody asked a priest, you know, if you truly believe in God, you know, God knows all things. He says, will you go ask God the last three sins that I committed? See what he says. He goes back the next day. He says, I asked God. He says he forgot.
We're with Bishop Roger Grease, and we're wrapping up our edition of Table Talk here. A couple of minutes left. We're going to take a quick break and then get some final thoughts from His Excellency and the Bishop's blessing, and then we'll wrap things up in just a second. Wrapping things up here on Table Talk with Bishop Roger Grease here on The Rock, AM 1260. Bishop Roger, thanks for coming in again, and very much appreciated. You're welcome here anytime. You could just walk in the door and, you know, we'll do a radio program with you. Okay? Giving us a lot of wonderful things to think about in a confused and hurting world, and one that really demands our Catholic and Christian presence going forward. So before we go, a couple of final thoughts and your blessings, if you would.
Well, I want to pray for all those that will help everyone understand the importance of our continued work in trying to eliminate abortions, or at least reducing abortions in our world today. And also pray for all those who might be feeling they're going to be able to take advantage of the new law for recreational marijuana, because I hate to see what would happen, you know, what happens when more and more people are getting marijuana and the difficulties that it causes in their life, you know, and the addictions that it might bring on. So I pray for all these people in each and every day in my life, and I hope everybody else will at the same time. And so, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity we had to share some thoughts about our faith and about our religion and about our beliefs and even our unbeliefs. And we ask you to help us to always understand the many mysteries that come our way each day. Help the people who are being persecuted now in Iraq and Israel and the Gaza Strip and the Palestinians. Help us to pray with them, and to pray for all the people in our own world today that are suffering from lack of what they need, and help them to find good work and to find the elements that they need to make their life wholesome and holy. And so we ask you, Lord, to be with us now as we bring to conclusion this Table Talk today. And we ask you to be with us always. And we ask your blessing upon us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Bishop Roger Grease is our guest here on Table Talk. Thank you, Bishop, again for coming in. And you always light up our studio when you come in, figuratively and literally. I'm Dick Russ, your host. Dan Dealey's been our producer. Hope you liked our program. Let us know what you think, and we thank you most of all for listening.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM 1260TheRock.com.